Welcome to Dysfunctional Podcast. I am Jesus Figueroa at dysfunctionaldysfunctional.com. Angela Maria Ortiz Sinclair from cefijaonline.com. And I got a chance to sit and talk with Luis Guzman for his upcoming project, Puerto Ricans in Paris. In Puerto Ricans in Paris, NYPD Detective Luis, played by Luis Guzman, and Eddie, played by Edgar Garcia, visit Paris to help a gorgeous French designer, Colette, played by Alice Taglioni, catch the black market thief who's ripped off her new bag design. When Luis's girlfriend Vanessa, played by Rosario Dawson, and Eddie's wife Gloria, played by Rosy Perez, remain in New York, the hopelessly unhip odd couple stumble through a glamorous high-fashion world brimming with charming cafes, wild nightclubs, and corporate treachery. Here's the audio from our interview with Luis Guzman.
Hi, Luis.
How are you?
Good. Hey, so we're talking that this movie, Puerto Ricans in Paris, you guys had a lot of fun. You said you had shot it in 17 days.
Yeah. You know, we had a very limited budget, and of course, we're shooting overseas. So we assembled a really good team of line producers and producers, and we first started in Prague because we shot a lot of interiors for Paris in Prague. You know, because it was more beneficial financially to shoot in Prague. And then we did fly in our French actors to Prague. And then when we went to Paris, we shot all the exteriors.
It's beautiful to watch because the good thing about shooting in Europe is that Prague and Paris have a similarity.
Yeah, that's what I was told. I remember when I first got out there, I said, "Why are we shooting in Prague?" And I looked around and I was like really blown away how beautiful architecturally and you know, visually, stuff was.
Well, a lot of that area, like Prague, East Europe there, I mean, pretty much it's pretty much kind of like a time capsule in many ways.
Yeah,
to everything else.
That's very true. You know, and again, we had a great core of location people. And so, you know, they got us into some really beautiful places that you saw.
Yeah. So your character, Luis, he looks like he's really good at being a New York police officer, but his personal life is a little kind of, wannabe player kind of?
Well, he absolutely wants to be a player. I guess that's how he tries to make up for his career as this New York City police detective. He's a character. You know, he wants to be the life of the party. He wants to be that 22-year-old cousin who's like 55 years old. You know, every family has one.
Yeah.
And I seek attention. You know, and what I really dig is that there's this off balance between myself and my buddy Eddie.
Right.
You know, because Eddie's like really like the warm, peach fuzzy kind of guy of the movie, and here I am like I don't want to learn French. I don't want to know anything about this and that. I just want to make our money and flirt. You know. I think that's part of the comedy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I gotta say one thing that I do really appreciate about this movie.
Yeah. I think somebody just came.
Okay. One thing that I really appreciate about this movie is, you know, we wanted to do this comedy. But we didn't want to do a slapstick kind of, you know, we really wanted to do a comedy based on the situation, you know, the environment, and the relationship of two people. And we were like those two fish out of water and trying to make things work and understanding things. And at the same time, just trying to fit in.
Yeah. And one of you, your buddy Eddie, who also the character is also your brother-in-law, seemed to adapt much better than you did, than your character.
Yeah, because he didn't have to push it. I mean, you know, I mean that's the difference between two people. Like one like really pushing, so yo, what's up? Here I am, and then he's like, hey, how you doing? And it's like everybody's always gonna gravitate to that guy. Because this guy had all the luggage, so I had all the luggage, obviously.
Anybody who's on the conference line, do you guys have any questions?
Yeah, Luis, this is Lupe.
Luis Rocca?
Lupe.
Lupe, go ahead.
So I wanted to ask you, we've seen you in kind of, not darker, very kind of, you know, funny portraits, like in Keanu and Narcos. Was it kind of like lighthearted to play this character? Because it's so fun and just lighthearted type of role for you.
You know, I got to tell you, I just really enjoyed the circumstances that this character found himself in, you know, and mm-hmm. I just lived through all the different characters that I played in the movie, you know, when we dressed up as the two Arab guys, you know. And, you know, I start telling this whole story, and then when the girl asks me, like, so where are you from? I said, oh, we're from the Lower East Side part, Delancey and Rivington. And it's like, you know, just stuff we had to make up. And then when we show up at, like at the Rancheros, and we're walking through the modeling place, you know, and when Eddie walked into that glass wall during the takes, I used to crack up so bad. You know, and you know, to answer your question, you know, I just had fun with it. You know, I mean, it allowed me the opportunity to do that, you know. And for me, it wasn't about going over the top. It was just like, you know, living that moment as that character, as that police officer, and thinking, great, I'm going to make $150,000 finding a bag, you know. And again, it was a really simple story. It wasn't a stretch, you know. I love my character, you know, and I love how my character, again, you know, just try to relate to other people and things like that.
Any more questions from anyone who's on the conference line?
Oh, you're pushy.
Yeah, no.
So I want to make sure everybody gets an opportunity.
Okay, go ahead, guys.
Go ahead, Luis.
Luis?
Yeah.
Sorry, I came a little late here. Was there anything particular that stood out when the camera was not rolling that was kind of funny and you kind of wish, man, I wish this would have gone on or be filmed? Any situations like that?
No, not really. You know, we were at the, you know, we just did our thing, you know. I think everything that happened, that needed to happen, that was fun, that was happening, was on film itself, you know. I think that because the crew that we put together, you know, meaning us guys, like my director, my camera guy, my DP, you know, like the guys that went over from the States to go there, you know, we were all learning because it's like, for me, it was like my first time producing a movie, you know, and I was really proud of the team that I helped put together. And, you know, yeah, of course, look, there were certain moments that I said, man, we should have gotten this, you know, and because, you know, we were dealing with a really small budget. You know, so we just kept moving, and he said, well, next time, you know, it's like learn as you go, so to speak. And, you know, look, man, I love every single person that worked on this film, you know, because it truly was a labor of love. We wanted to make good entertainment. You know, we wanted it to be funny, wanted it to be classy, wanted to show, you know, that relationship between these two guys, you know, that they truly are buddies, you know. And at the end, you know, they got each other, so.
They really do have each other. And then you have these two wonderful female actresses who, they're not in the film that much, but the scenes that they have are just wonderful. Rosario Dawson and Rosie Perez.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it was a blessing to get them. You know, I know Rosario, I know Rosie for many years. I called them up and I said, hey, you know, we're doing this movie. You know, they said, yeah, man, you know, sign me up. And I think that was really a great relationship. And we set it up that the whole idea was that Rosie playing my sister married to my partner, you know, I knew, like, the headaches and the heartaches that Eddie had to deal with because my sister's a tough girl. And then me dealing with Rosario as my girlfriend and, like, someone who's 25 years younger than me, it's like, and then, you know, she just kind of puts it out there. You ain't no Tom Ford, Papi, you know. So, you know, but again, it was the honest type of comedy,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
And I love what they bought. And like you said, you know, even though they weren't in much of the movie, but when you did see them, it counted, and it counted so well. So I'm really proud of them for that.
I one of my favorite scenes is when you didn't get the taxi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty cool. You know, I mean, I tell you, man, there were so many parts that I really dug. Like, the taxi part was one. Eddie walking into the glass wall was two. You know, just walking around Paris with the ranchero hip-hop music playing in the background, you know, and then doing the shots with the girl.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
In real life, could you handle those many shots?
No way. I would have been done by 1.5. No way. But, you know, I also got to give credit to all the French actors that we had, because they were great, man. They were real comedic actors. You know, but again, they were on point, you know. It was not, I did not want to shoot a movie that was like slapstick comedy. You know, that's not my brand. So, you guys were going to say something on the phone?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, Louise, you have some of the funniest pickup lines when you get to France. Was that on the page or did you add some? And maybe what's the worst pickup line you ever used?
Some of them were on the page, some of them wasn't. I guess the worst pickup line that I ever had in my life is asking, "Oye, mami, de quién tú eres?" That never gets me anywhere. It's like, "Mami, de quién tú eres?" And it's like, and the response I get, "De mi mamá y mi papá." Yeah, it just started raining in here. Whoa!
I'm so sorry.
Yo, you working here when I come here? Oh, you didn't see this. She did. As I gave that response, Angela was drinking water, and all of a sudden it started raining profusely. Wow. Yo, this is the first.
Oh, God.
No, mommy, we're good. Don't worry about it. It's all love. You, mira, because you're on the phone, you missed it. You have to be here.
Oh, man.
Darn.
So what was it about this project that made you want to produce it and star in it?
Yeah. Please draw your equipment. You know, it was just an opportunity to do something. You know, I've been an advocate, you know, for Latinos in the entertainment industry. You know, because look, I always hear this. For the last 25 years of my career, so when is Hollywood going to let Latinos in and stuff like that? And they're there, bro. Don't worry about it.
I'm just checking the time.
No, don't check the time. I'll let you know when I'm done. So, you know, when is Latinos going to let... I mean, when is Hollywood going to let Latinos in? And it's like I found myself having an opportunity to put this film together to say, you know what? Let's make a movie. Let's make it fun. Let's put a group of people together that we enjoy working with, that we can grow together. And just to show the world, you know what? We're here to entertain. You know, because I did not make this movie or go about making this movie, even though the title of the movie is called Puerto Ricans in Paris, I did not make this movie for Puerto Ricans. You know, and I've always said, I made this movie for the universe. You know, and that's what I'm so proud of because, again, you know, we, in the movie, we're not talking being Puerto Rican, we're not talking Spanish, you know, you hear our accents, we're dealing with French people, you know, we're dealing with bootleggers on Wall Street, and it's good entertainment, you know, and so, you know, Hollywood saw this movie and said, oh, here comes a pretty cool product, and they dug it enough that they said, you know what, we'll distribute it for you. That's where we're at right now. And so I'm proud of that, you know. I do still struggle with, I don't have any problem saying this. I do still struggle with the fact that, okay, here we have this movie, and I'm still waiting to also do interviews for general market. Because the problem that I've always found with Latino movies, you know, that people make for the universe, it's like, why aren't we only being interviewed by Latino markets? What happened to the rest of the, you know, why, you know, when Spike Lee does a movie, he's not just being interviewed by the black market, you know? When Tyler Perry's doing his movies, even in the beginning, he's not just being interviewed by black, you know? And so I think that's something that we have to break through. You know, but you know what? I'm still going to go ahead. The social media. I know we've gotten over 40 million hits, you know, out there. You know, we also utilizing, you know, the power of a man named Pitbull, you know, who is helping us to market this movie. I mean, Jesus Christ, I go on Twitter, I go on Facebook, I go on Instagram, and I do what I have to do because, you know, I have access to that. When I put the trailer up for the first time, all I said one word, share. And, man, people shared it like wildfire, whatever. That's cliche, but that's too bad.
Guys, we got about 3 minutes left.
No, you guys got all the minutes you want. Go ahead. I'm running this. You know why? Because you guys are asking me good questions. Please. Go ahead.
Luis, I wanted to ask you, nowadays that we have all these options, digital options, do you think, since you are a producer on the film and you want to get the most exposure, do you see that as another option as far as like Netflix and maybe going straight there?
Absolutely.
Or in addition to theatrical?
Well, you know, I would like to initially do theatrical. You know, I think everything is beginning to shift, though. So you got to go with the shift. Yeah. But I know there's still people that like to go see a movie in a theater and get that theater experience. You know, and the theater, I think it's still an important element. You know, as far as getting stuff on Netflix, I think that's great and everything. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with a theatrical, a pay-per-view, and a digital release because that's the way the world's going now. You know, it's like theatrically you might get 200,000 people to see your movie, and then digitally you might get 3 million people to see your movie within the same amount of time. You know, so it all works. I mean, I think everything complements everything else, and I believe you have to take advantage of all those things. Why not? I mean, it is the world that we live in. You know, when I first started acting, there were 3 networks. And that was it. And now you got more than just networks. You got cable shows, but then you have people like Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, you know. So you know, you have so many more outlets to be able to put your projects. But, you know, one thing I do want to say, I mean, look, I'm very, very proud of East Los High. You know, I feel that is breaking down barriers for us, you know. But I also feel that it's important as far as the Latino community goes because we do have the talent. We do have the ability. What's important is the quality of what we put out. That's really, really, really important because, you know, I get approached all the time. I can't tell you how many scripts I read that our people have written. And it's like, well, you know what? I think you got to go back. You got to rewrite this. You got to, you know, you got to kind of tweak this, you know, because we want to be successful. And we don't want to be known as like, so how many drafts of this? Oh, I just wrote it. You know, some projects go to 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 drafts. You have to be willing to commit to that because, again, you know, we want to be able to put out a quality that people are going to notice and not put out a quality that kind of hinders us.
What you just said right there, that means you're going to be producing more.
Yes, I will be.
Producing more.
Will be. But you know what? I'm always going to challenge us, too.
We have to.
I'm going to challenge us, too, because it's like I'm not going to put this out there just because you're Latino. I want to put this out there because it's an incredible story, and this is worthy for the universe to see.
I agree with you.
Guys, last question. I'm sorry. There's like 10 people outside waiting.
Okay. I'll give...
Whoever, go ahead. Lupe.
Luis.
Yeah.
Two more questions. With you and the phone. But
Our people definitely have amazing stories to tell, and we do definitely need to push people more and more, and I think we've talked about this.
Yes.
What, in your opinion, what is it about Hollywood that kind of, you know, creates a barrier for us?
You know, I don't think it's Hollywood that creates the barrier anymore. You know, I think that's something that we psychologically, you know, put at the block. You know, my thing is that we, again, are talented, but at the same time, taking it to the next level, who's going to be that person that's going to write the check? There are Latinos that are multi-millionaires and billionaires. You know, where are they? Where, you know, why do I have to wait for some Hollywood company to say, you know? I think that's a big thing, you know, because I think that whole barrier thing, that's something at this point, you know, it's we create our own barriers and we break down our own barriers. You know, because that's just the reality. That, you know, I see that. I cannot use Hollywood any longer as an excuse of why our stuff ain't getting out there. You know, if I were to do that, then you know what? I'm going to be answering the same and being asked the same question 10 years from now. And 10 years from now, what I want to say is we have such a glut of talent and good projects and TV shows and movies and talk shows, you know, it's not about Latino interviewing Latinos. It's like, you know, George Lopez, for example. I think he had a great talk show, and I think he was undermined by the whole Conan O'Brien, and I love Conan O'Brien too, but you know, it was like, okay, well, the Latino is expendable. Well, you know, I want to get to a point that we're not no longer expendable. You know, it doesn't work that way. Not in my eyes and not in my heart. So,
anybody on the phone?
Are you guys in shock? Hello?
No, Luis.
Last question, guys. Yes.
Okay, you guys give me a question. Anybody on the phone? Go.
Yeah. So, do you think, you know, because you're a veteran, projects like this, have they become easier to get out since or create? Since the introduction of the internet and social media, is it now, you know, you have some good item, and now you can go out and get it on your own?
I'll say one thing to that. Instructions not included. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Okay, he went on social media, you know, and that movie was a brilliant movie, and social media had a lot to do with getting the movie out there. That's all I have to say.
And that's what we have to do with Puerto Ricanos in Paris.
So, you know, hey, guys, man, I need your support. Again, you know, I don't know if you guys on the phone have seen the movie, you know, but I think it's a really cool little movie. I'm not going to say it could be a game changer, but it could be part of becoming a game changer for Latinos in the industry.
Puerto Ricans in Paris comes out June 10th. Go out and watch it. Share your thoughts on social media with the hashtag Puerto Ricans in Paris and let everybody know what you think. Check out more of my stuff on dysfunctional.com. Follow me on social media at Dysfunctional on Twitter and Instagram, Dysfunctional LA on Facebook, and on the Good Shows app, Dysfunctional.